Hey, this is Eddie Hyatt. This is the Awakening Podcast. I am doing this special podcast today because I want to comment on the horrific events that are unfolding in Afghanistan today. It's been happening, but it's reached its pivotal point here in the last few hours. And I have to say that I feel heartsick about this tragedy. I feel particularly for the women and girls who are about to be subjected to the most brutal forms of Sharia law. Some of you are not old enough to remember, but before and around the time the U.S. was going into Afghanistan, and I guess it's been now 20 plus years ago, there were images that came out of Afghanistan under the rule of the Taliban of women being publicly beaten. And I remember even seeing one video of a woman who was publicly executed. She was kneeling on the ground and her executor shot her in the head. I don't know exactly what they were accused of, but under this most brutal form of Sharia law, for us it could be even trivial matters. And so I feel heartsick about this, and I'm praying for the people of Afghanistan, and I hope you will join me, especially those, there are some there who know Christ. Now, while many will be debating the logistical decisions made by the president and others that led to this catastrophe, I want to discuss the underlying reasons that have led to this. I want to discuss the moral and theological decisions in America over the past 60 years that I believe have played a primary role in this disaster. You see, the tragedy in Afghanistan can be traced to America's secularization of its culture and armed forces. Because you see, you cannot defeat ideas with bullets. Ideas must be defeated with better ideas. The Sharia law to which the Taliban are fanatically committed must be challenged with more than tanks and bullets. They must be challenged with a greater and a better and a more powerful ideal. Think about early Christianity. Jesus did not leave his disciples with an organization or a method. He left them with a message infused with power. Paul spoke about this in Romans 1:16, where he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the message itself, "is the power of God unto salvation." And early Christianity defeated the mighty Roman Empire without armies, without swords, without spears. They defeated Rome with a message, the gospel message that Paul said is infused with power to change lives. You see, Christian missionaries, sailors, business people, and soldiers alike shared the gospel message everywhere they went. And mighty Rome finally bowed its knee to the message of the cross of Christ. Ancient pagan Rome was defeated by a message, the Christian message. In a similar way, 245 years ago, a ragtag army of American colonists, lacking armaments and supplies, defeated the most powerful war machine on the planet at the time, and they brought into existence a new nation. Now, they were able to do this because of the transcendent Christian ideals and message for which they fought. The historian William Novak has said, listen to this, "George Washington knew his only hope lay in a profound conviction in the hearts and daily actions of all his men that what they did for God and under his protection." Did you hear that? The historian William Novak said Washington knew his only hope was that this ragtag army made up of, of, of farmers and mechanics and so on, that he knew their only hope was that they believed, they were convicted that what they did for God and they did under his conviction. In other words, that they were fighting for a higher ideal than just their own feelings and their own happiness. Well, Washington, he believed this. And that's why he issued an order when he took the job of commander-in-chief. He issued an order stating that each day was to begin with prayer led by the officers of each unit. He also ordered that unless their duties required them to be elsewhere, every soldier was to observe a punctual attendance of divine services to implore the blessing of heaven. This is a direct quote from Washington. To implore the blessing of heaven upon the means used for our safety and public defense. And Washington also expressed his desire, and this is a quote, that every officer and man will endeavor so as to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier. By the way, these quotes are found in my book, 1726. So, those early American colonists believed that they were fighting a just war for the ideal of God-given liberty. And that is stated in the Declaration of Independence from July of 1776. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created by God and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. So they believed that they were fighting for God-given liberty and that God would therefore fight for them. And it was this internal belief in an ideal and a cause bigger than themselves that gave them the courage and fortitude to overcome tremendous obstacles and win the fight against a much more powerful enemy and opponent. Now, fast forward to the 21st century. A secularized American army was sent to Afghanistan without a message, without an ideal for the Afghanistan people. In fact, the troops were given sensitivity training, and those who were Christians were told not to share their Christian faith with the people of Afghanistan, nor with the Afghanistan troops they would be training. Billions of dollars were spent and thousands of lives sacrificed to equip and train the Afghanistan people in the use of guns, tanks, and planes. They did not, however, equip them with a message or ideal that would give them the internal fortitude, courage, and commitment to fight for the freedom of their people. So with no higher ideal than their own happiness, the Afghanistan army wilted and ran when the U.S. pulled out its troops just a few days ago and the Taliban advanced. The American bullets they had been given were no match for the Taliban's devotion, fanatical devotion to an Islamic ideal, be it ever so wrong. And let me just pose some questions. What if American military brass had allowed 20 years ago when America first went to Afghanistan, what if they had allowed the troops who were Christian believers to freely share their faith with the Afghanistan people while going about their duties? What if they had allowed Christian social groups such as Samaritan's Purse to help the distressed Afghanistan people in the name of Jesus Christ? Now, I know my leftist friends will scream that this is colonialism. No, it isn't. It is freedom to share truth that will lift people and change their lives for the good. I want the best for the people of Afghanistan. And so did George Washington, which is why he encouraged some Delaware Indian chiefs with whom he met after becoming president. He encouraged them to embrace what he called the religion of Jesus Christ. He said, and this is a direct quote, he said to them, You do well to learn our arts and our ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. These will make you a greater and happier people than you are. America's founders made it clear that they believed that Christian principles and morality were the key for both individual and societal happiness and stability. Christian principles and morality, the key to individual, to personal happiness, and to societal peace and happiness. Don't we want the whole world to be happy? Then we have to be willing to share with them the only message, a divine message that God has given the world. That is the key for individual and national stability and peace and happiness. And so that is why George Washington had no qualms about sharing with these Delaware Indians. He's, hey, here's what will make you a greater and happy people than you already are. Most of all, the religion of Jesus Christ. That's also why Thomas Jefferson, when he was president, he took money, America's third president, he took money from the federal treasury to pay for a Christian missionary to the Kaskaskia Indian tribe. It was a part of a negotiated treaty he made with this tribe. And so he took money from the federal treasury to pay for a Christian missionary to them and to pray for the building of a Christian church building for this Indian tribe. Why would he do this? Because he too believed that Christian principles and morality were the key to human peace and happiness. That's also why John Hancock, president of the Continental Congress and signer of the Declaration of Independence, wanted the entire earth to hear and embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. He expressed this in a prayer proclamation he issued while governor of Massachusetts. In the 1793 proclamation, he exhorted the people, and this is the quote, that with true contrition of heart, we may confess our sins, resolve to forsake them, and implore the divine forgiveness through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And finally, to overrule all the commotion in the world, to the spreading of the true religion of our Lord Jesus Christ in its purity and power among all the people of the earth. Now the secularist today, the committed atheist would say, oh, he was trying to force and impose his beliefs. No, no, no. It was out of this internal conviction and belief. Here is a message for the world. God so loved the world. And here is a message that if any people, if any nation, if any society will take the principles taught by Jesus and the New Testament and implement his principles and his morals, it will make them a peaceful and a happy people. And that is why he wanted this message to spread, he said, among all the people of the earth. You know, in recent decades, we have seen presidents, American presidents, seeking to export American-style democracy to other nations such as Iraq and Afghanistan, apart from any connection to Christian faith and morality. But these efforts have proven futile. America's founders would say that such efforts are futile because true liberty, true happiness, and true societal peace cannot be had apart from Christian truth and morality. And so I will end this by saying, it is time. Now, I know there are people in other countries, listen to this. Hey, this message is for the world. This message is not an American message. It's a South African message. It is a Rwandan message. Is it a Nigerian message? An Irish message? A Canadian message? It's the message John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But in my closing statement, I'm speaking to, particularly to Americans. It is time, high time, for all Americans to revisit our founding principles of faith and freedom. Otherwise, if we continue to neglect the ideals and the message of our founders, we can't expect to see even more tragic calamities unfold in the days ahead. I'm Eddie Hyatt, and I hope that you will check out my blog called The 1726 Project. You can find it on my website, eddiehyatt.com, eddiehyatt.com. You'll find a bookstore there. You will find articles, but you will also find my blog where I'm addressing this need. And you will find this article. I was primarily reading from this article, The Underlying Cause of the Unfolding Tragic Events in Afghanistan. And so you can go there and read this article. The URL is biblicalawakening.blogspot.com. biblicalawakening.blogspot.com, or just go to my website eddiehyatt.com and click on the blog on the left side of the page. God bless you. Let's have a prayer before we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the people of Afghanistan. We pray, Lord, oh God, somehow give them internal strength and courage, Lord, to face the terrible outward difficult times that are coming their way. Lord, the Christians who are there, those who have come to know you, oh God, give them wisdom, give them strength, give them courage in the face of all that is coming their way, we pray. Intervene in the land of Afghanistan, oh God, we pray. Oh God, we pray for America. Help America to return to her founding principles of faith and freedom, and to bring back the message, the only message, the only ideal, the only message that will sustain her in the days ahead. We thank you for doing it, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.